Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Tzadik Vav, and we are holding at the incredible introduction of excellent. Now, this is a mission that you're very familiar with. It sounds very complicated. It's so simple. We had it before. So what happens is over here, a guy marries a woman, and then she disappears. This is all the disappearance thing. She disappears, he gets a message, she's dead. He marries a sister. But this case, he first marries a paternal sister. Then he hears that his second wife is dead. So he marries her maternal sister, which means that the wife number one and wife number three are completely unrelated because they don't share either parent, right? Then he hears that wife number three is dead, and he goes marries her paternal sister, which is wife number four. And then he hears that that wife is dead, so then he goes and marries the maternal sister, who is unrelated to wife number three. Okay, so that's very simple. So all that happens when they all show up is that the women that he was legally married to are all his wives, and the ones that are not legally married, because they were either a maternal or paternal sister of his wife, he was not married to. That's all the mission is about. So let's just see it inside. Omer lo meitayishtecha. So, Richie, you're going to be in seventh heaven tomorrow, man, because tomorrow we've got the riddles from Appalachia. So you remember we did this? I think we were in Finland when we did it last time. Okay, but now this is very simple. So now he hears his wife died. So they tell him, your wife who went overseas, she went down with the ship. So he goes on and he marries her paternal sister, Nasachu Tamelvia. Then he hears that she went down with the ship. This guy's got a lot of ways to add wives. So he goes ahead and he marries her maternal sister. And then he was told the third wife went down with the next ship. So then he marries the third wife's paternal sister. Then he hears she died. So then he marries the fourth wife's maternal sister. Anyway, so now he's got five wives. So they all show up, of course. This is the nightmare. Let me tell you the ultimate. Anyway, so he ends up, in this case, with wives number one, three, and five, who are not related to each other. And since they're not related to each other, they're all his wife. And therefore, if he dies, which you can imagine happens quickly, then if he dies, so then they, any one of their yibums or chalitzas will pater all the others because they were all legally married. There's no problem, right? But of course, he is usher and his wife number two and wife number four because they were sisters to his legally married wife. That's all very simple. And in that case, if he dies and the Yavam goes and takes either of those, obviously that's going to be completely useless. It's not going to bother anybody from Yibam at all because he's not married to them. Now, in that same case, if it turned out that his first wife actually did die and she really died, so then this whole thing starts only with the second wife, but he had actually taken the second wife after she really died, and then this whole thing happens, he hears the second wife, et cetera, et cetera, then obviously the real wives are wife number two and wife number four. But wife number three and wife number five are illicit because he was married to their sisters. It's, you know, kindergarten stuff. Okay, and over there, the taking them beyibum, wives number two or four will pater the any other wives that he has, but taking either wife number three or number five by the yibum is not going to help at all. Now that's the end of that Mishnah. There is no Gemara on that Mishnah. Now comes the next Mishnah, which is only put in here by the printer as if it's the same Mishnah. So why don't you give us a real Mishnah over there, Rich? Okay. I mean, I'm a little bit misleading because there's like a few words just to make sure we understood that first Mishnah, but we didn't bother putting the first words. We just put it all together. So now, we've got a number of halachas over here about the case of a boy who is over 9 years old. So remember, we have an interesting situation over there, because a boy over 9 years old is capable of intercourse, but is not capable of kinyanim. So this, of course, it can put him into some rather strange situations. And then we had that big machlokas, remember, we showed him whether mi'ikar ad-din, in the case of yibum, where he doesn't need to make the kinyan, whether his bia will be an actual kinyan or not. And then the Rabbanan downgraded the kinyan to make it the equivalent of ma'amar, or whether it's the other way around. And the way Rashi learns, together with some other Rishonim, is that mi'ikar ad-din, he does not have a kinyan, and you still need to have a kinyan on the Yavama, even though the Torah was makna you bezika, and that therefore the Rabbanan bargained his bia up to give it a status of ma'amar. That was, we discussed that at length earlier in the Masechet. But in any event, the idea over here would be, remember, we had all of these discussions before, that we have the ma'amar, we have bia, we have get, and we have chalitza. And we talked about all the varied interrelationships between those things. And we even talked about yesh ma'amar achar ma'amar, yesh chalitza achar chalitza, yesh chalitza achar ma'amar, yesh get achar chalitza, and so forth, right? The idea being that the only thing that is going to actually be kena ayavama truly is bia, or chalitza. But even there we had questions about gezeres with the chalitza. Fine. So we said, ein achrei bia klum. So then, the idea would be like this. Let's say one brother gives ma'amar, and then another brother comes along, and before he consummates the marriage with a real yibum, another brother gives a get. Right? Or another brother does chalitza. Or the case could also be the other brother did bia, but that would be more complicated. The din is that the second brother messes things up for the first brother. So even though ma'amar normally would be something that would just progress to the full yibum, but since the other brother gave her a get, let's take the case of get. Since the other brother gave her a get, he messes things up. Why? Because a get midrabbanan, of course, midiraisa, get means nothing to a yavama, but a get midrabbanan is a rejection of the yavama. And that rejection means kivan shelo bana shuv lo yivneh, because that's where he said, this is what we do to a man, asher lo yivneh beta. Well, he was lo yivneh beta chiv, even though he did it a weird way with a get, but that means that none of the brothers can subsequently, the same way if one gives chalitza, none of the brothers can then go ahead and take her. So bitter abundant, if he gave a get, none of the brothers could take her, including the brother who gave the ma'amar. So then that means that subsequent, and if you hold yesh ma'amar achar ma'amar, which is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel we had before, then since the second brother's ma'amar is going to require a get, because the Rabbanan gave ma'amar to each one of the brothers, then the very fact that it requires a get means that you can't consummate the first ma'amar, because it will ultimately be a shuv lo yivneh. So no matter what happens over here, the second guy is going to mess up his brother's ma'amar, right? Now the question is, what if the second guy is a boy of 9 years old? So there the issue is, we said that we consider his bia to be the equivalent of ma'amar. Does that mean it's equivalent to ma'amar in the sense that it can mess things up for a brother who already gave ma'amar? Or does it mean that it's ma'amar in the sense that if no brother does anything and he goes ahead and gives ma'amar, that then no other brother can take her? Those are two different things. Okay, so this is what we're going to discuss now. So Yizah ben Teisha v'yom echad, hu posel ha'yidei achim. So if he goes ahead and he, which we're not sure what it means, posel in what way, but we're going to clarify it. Does it mean if he gives a get? I mean, a katan can't really give a get, can he? So why would we worry about a get? Can he do chalitza? No, he can't do chalitza either. The only thing he can really do is bia, which is the equivalent of ma'amar, which we're going to clarify. But he can mess things up that way by actually taking this the yavama, and then none of the brothers are going to be able to take her at all, right? So they can't take her b'yibum. She'll still need chalitza. Okay, that they'll have to do. But the brothers can passel him. The difference is that he can only passel for the other brothers if he's the first one to act. But if the other brothers act first, then we don't care about what he does afterwards. They can continue to finish up what it is that they wanted to do. So the difference, therefore, is that Elohu posel techila, who he can only posel if he's the first one to do something. But if another brother did something, we don't worry about what he does. Whereas the brothers can posel either up front, obviously, if he can posel for them, they can posel for him, but they can also posel after he does something. So even if he went ahead and he was ba'al, they can mess things up for him by giving a get, giving mimer, whatever it is. And then he won't be allowed to keep that yevamah that he took. So what do we mean when we say this? So how would the posel on them? Now this mission is very misleading, and it's going to turn out that it's chisuri mechaser, as we're going to see. Kate said, what do I mean? Well, let's say you have a 9-year-old who sleeps with his yevamah, then the other brothers can't take her. Pasala yedei achin. If the brothers would do that after he does it, so then they, bo ala achin, or forget about if they actually sleep with her. They just do mimer, or they give a get, or they do chalitza. Even subsequently, they pasal him, and he is not allowed to hold on to her, right? So, I mean, the pashtus of the Mishnah is that what we're saying is that get, ma'amar, and chalitza mean nothing done by the child, but do mean something when done by the brothers. And the only thing that means anything for a child is bia, right? That's what it seems to be saying. That's very misleading, and we're going to see that the Mishnah does not mean what it says. Now, here is the half a line of Gemara that refers to that first Mishnah, which made the printer put it all together because he was going to do a Mishnah and one line of Gemara. Okay, so what is that one line of Gemara? Because when the Mishnah said, but if they actually marry the other women, wives 2, 3, 4, 5, after the death of the first wife, what are you talking about? Of course it's after that. Who would marry the sister if it wasn't after the death? No, we mean really after the death. She was the one who died, but none of the others had actually died. That's when it says after the death, not after the putative death, after the real death. They were all married after her death. No, they weren't. They were all after her rumored death. But here it means, Amar Rav Shea says, it means lachar mitat rishona vadai, her real death. Okay, now moving on to the Gemara of the second Mishnah. The second Mishnah being the story of the boy. Okay, so the Mishnah says the difference is that the 9-year-old can only posel up front, but he can't posel ex post facto after one of the brothers acts, right? So, look. Benteja shanim v'yom echad. You said he only can posel tchila if it comes first before any of the four things takes place by a brother, but besof lo posel. So in other words, if an older, a gadol, does mimer, and then the katan sleeps with her, doesn't make any difference. The brother can go ahead and consummate the yibum. That's what the Mishnah seems to be saying. But that's not true. Because Atani Rivzvi Barav Oshaya, in the event that a fully grown brother goes ahead and gives Mamar to his Yavama, and then his little brother of 9 years old sleeps with her, he does posel her. So how can it be? I understand. I mean, what, we're ignoring the psak that's not like that. So what does the Mishnah mean? Ah, so the Mishnah is very misleading. Bia, of course, posels. Even if it's at the end, especially if you hold that the Bia is the Diraisa, remember? If you hold like the Pshat that the Rabbanan downgraded the Bia, so of course the Bia is going to posel. You can't argue with the Torah. I mean, if Elamaisa was Kena the Yavana with his Bia, then obviously he posels her for the brothers. I mean, it's a joke to even need to say that. But I mean, the idea over here would be no matter what you hold about his Bia, that's going to posel. His Ma'amar will only posel up front. Now, this, of course, is crazy because the Mishnah says he doesn't have Ma'amar. At least that's what it sounded like. So the Mishnah is unbelievably misleading. His Ma'amar will posel Tchila, but not in the event that another brother did Ma'amar before he did. Besof lo posel. What? But that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah, what are you telling me? That Bia posels even Besof? The Mishnah says beferish elashu posel techila vehein techila v'sof, and then it goes, it explains itself, and it says, Ketzad, what do I mean when I say that? I mean that a ben teisha shanim v'yom echad sheba al yevimto, not mimer, ba al yevimto. So what are you talking about? Obviously, Ribzvid bar Rav Hoshaya, the Mishnah's about an older. The Mishnah is missing the most important line. It's supposed to be read like this. Ben teisha shanim v'yom echad, hu posel techila, v'ein poslim techila v'sof, all of that is true. Okay? Now, stick in these words. But when is it true? If you're talking about Ma'amar, then it's true. So we do have Ma'amar for the Katan. So if you're talking about Ma'amar, then it's true. But if it was real Bia, then Bia poselet afila bisof. Okay, now let's go back to the Lashon and Mishnah. Ketzad. So ben teisha shanim v'yom echad habal yivimto. Passels the achim no matter what, whether it was front or last, doesn't matter, because his bia is a real bia. But mamar? But I thought that, isn't the Mishnah very clear that he doesn't have mamar? The only thing that he has is bia, and it's the other brothers that have the mamar, and the get, and the chalitza. That's another thing that the Mishnah doesn't work out. Like, I don't understand. And doesn't it say beferish in a brisa that vatanya ben teishashanim v'yom echad, who posel b'davar echad? There's only one thing that he can do that will mess up the other brothers' rights to the Yavama. Whereas the other brothers, they have four things that they can do. He can only actually sleep with her. That's the only thing that's going to make a difference. The brothers, they can use either bia or mama or get or chalitza. They're going to mess things up no matter what they do. For him, which certainly seems to be saying that mama of a cotton will not mess things up for any of their brothers. So the only thing that works is bia. Now, again, you see, you're jumping to conclusions. Is it true that bia is an absolute psul, whether it comes first or follows what the brother does? Yes. Is mamar for a katan an absolute psul? No. Mamar will only work if it comes first. So if we're giving a list of things, what we're saying is a child has only one tool to mess things up absolutely for brothers. And that's bia. Mamar will not necessarily, I mean, it could if he acts first. So if he acts precipitously, yes. But we're not talking, we don't want to explain a case, but in the event that we're saying, no matter what brothers will do, they've got four things that are going to pass all your vama. And no matter what a katan does, in all circumstances, only one thing you can be sure of that will pass. It's true that there's a circumstance where there's also mamar. That's all. So that, if it's up front. So that explains that there's no contradiction between the Braita and the Mishnah. So bia, which passels bein betchila, bein besof, yes, that the Tana can say, because it's true under any circumstances. So psikale, that you can say, and you don't have to give any explanations. So I'm giving something that is requires no further qualifications. Okay. So therefore, mamar, where I do need to explain when we're talking about, I don't want to get into that. So mamar only passes betchila besof lo psikali. I can't make an unqualified statement about mamar, and I'm only interested in making a very simple, straightforward, requiring no further explanation statement that I left on mamar. Itmar nami, and I'll show you that that's very clear. Om Rav Yerom Shmuel, a child, yesh lo get. That what? Yeshlo ma'amar. So the fact that he says over here that according to him, you can actually give a get. So then if he goes ahead and he gives a get, then he will passel her because that's the asher lo yivne et betachiv. And Rav Tachlifa bar Avimi adds that he has ma'amar. And Tanya Namehoch, Yeshlo get v'yeshlo mamar, divrei Rebbe Meir. It turns out to be a machlokas. Wait a minute. Rebbe Meir holds that a katan has a get? But Tanya, doesn't it say beferish that osu biat ben teisha ke mamar begadol? So we treat the din of bia to be exactly the equivalent of a mamar. Whereas Rabbi Meir Omer, Asu Chalitzat Ben Teisha Ki Get Begadol. If a ben tesha does chalitza, so then it's the same as if a full gadol brother had given a get, in the same way that the get of the gadol passes her for the other brothers and for himself, so does the katan's chalitza passel her, even though it doesn't really potter her. She's not going to be able to marry anybody else, but it's enough to create the sense of kiman shalobana, shuv lo yivnena. Obviously, what we just had before argues on Rabbi Meir. We don't hold to that. Rabbi Meir holds that yibum and chalitza, either at the beginning or the end, are going to be enough for him to passel. And the Rabbanan don't hold that. We said before, it's only true of Bia, because Bia, the Torah gave him. But Chalitza, he can't do. We ignore the Chalitza completely. Okay. Again, so we find that this is a machlokas. But bottom line is, how could we say what you just said? Imiita, if it's true. And that is, you're claiming, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, that a get could apostle? So then, why does he say the chalitza is like the get of a gadol? He could say the chalitza is like his own get. What do you have to talk about a gadol? The very fact that you're telling me the chalitza of the katan is the equivalent of a get of a gadol means there's no get to the katan, right? I mean, otherwise, why in the world would he say it? No. Not true. Because he may have a get. And in fact, Omer Vunet Red Rib, sure, he does have a get. But that get is less effective than the gadol's get, and that's why we want to say that the chalitza is just as effective as the get of a gadol. In what way? Because look, according to Rabbi Gamliel, remember we had before the sugya, Rabbi Gamliel says, ain get acher get. So in that case, if a yavama, let's say there's two or more brothers, each one gives her a get, the second get doesn't mean a darn thing. In terms of what? In terms of that, if this guy, the Yavam, who gave the get, decides at some future point that he wants to marry her daughter or her mother, we don't say to him, look, sorry, buddy, you can't get married because, I mean, she's your grusha, Mirabanan. Nah, she's nothing. We look at that get as a joke. Okay, so that was Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel was saying, ain't get acher get. That's only if a gadol brother gives a get after a gadol gives a brat. Or a katan gives a get after another katan gives a get. But if a katan gives a get and then a gadol gives the get is powerful enough to asser him on the relatives. That's the difference. And therefore, we wanted to say that, look, I'm not saying it's only as good as his get. It's as good as his brother's get. According to the Rabbanan, they hold yesh get acher get. It's also only true where it's a gadol achar a gadol or a katan achar a katan, but a katan achar a gadol, it's not going to do anything. So therefore, we want to know that may be true about the get, but the chalitza would already be like the get of a gadol. So if you hold yesh get achar get, then it would make a big difference whether it's like the child's get or it's like the brother who's a gadol's get. And next, we have Sir Richard once again. Oh, Sir Richard. Doc, get ready. It's your big moment, man. Go for it. Doc?
Yes.
Go for it.
Zota Helika Mishma.
Oh, man. He's going to eat it today, huh? So Ben Tesha, that's what happens when you fall asleep at the wheel. Amazing.
Anyway,
no, you're too late.
No.
Ben, so now another Mishnah about the din of a Ben Tesha Shonim V'Yom Echad. Suppose a Ben Tesha Shonim V'Yom Echad goes and sleeps with his Yavama. And then his brother, who is also katan, so the second child passels the first child from keeping this yavama as a yavama, because we said that once it is that you go ahead and you do this yibum, so now you're not allowed, you cannot take you have two brothers that are going to be taking her. So this is, if you hold that yesh ma'amar achar ma'amar, which we just discussed, then this is the equivalent of a ma'amar achar ma'amar, in which case you're going to need a get from the second one. But if you get a get from the second one, then you're going to be over, all the brothers will be over on kiman shelo bana shuv lo yivne, at least min rabbanan, because the ma'amar requires a get, and the get min rabbanan is a rejection. So ultimately, there's no way that either of them can keep her. Whereas Rabbi Shimon disagrees with this whole idea, and Rabbi Shimon says that, and this was a Rabbi Shimon that we had earlier, Rabbi Shimon holds that the question of the bia of the katan, the ma'amar of the katan, is not that it's a semi-kinyan, remember? It's a suffix. Either it's a complete kinyan, or it is completely meaningless. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, there will never be a problem of the second child's acting. Because if the first child's act is a real act, then it says Yavama, and then it doesn't matter what the second child did. And if it's not an act, neither is the second child. So one way or the other, we have nothing to worry about in a second bia. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon Noimer, lo posel. Furthermore, if we have a bet, which is also a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon, ben tesha shanim v'yom echad, sheba al yevim tov, and then he goes and he sleeps with another wife of the same husband, right? So this is sorata. So remember, there were two ways of understanding mimer acher mimer. One is, one brother gives mimer, and the other brother gives mimer. The other understanding was, the same brother, one brother, gives ma'amar to one of the yavamas, and then he goes in and gives ma'amar to the other yavama, which is a problem of bayit echadu boneh ve'ino boneh shnei batim, and so on, right? So we consider those to be equivalent issues of ma'amar achar ma'amar. So this Mishnah, the second part of the Mishnah, is an application of the second idea of ma'amar achar ma'amar. So over here you have a boy, he sleeps with yavama one, and then he goes ahead and he sleeps with Yavama too. He wrecks his own Yibam. So he cannot take, when he grows up, he's not going to be able to keep that first Yavama, because since we give the status of Mimer to that second Yavama, so then that makes the first Yavama also Usher, because he's going to have to give her a get, and then that's going to be, this is Asher lo yivneh, and he was lo yivneh. Furthermore, bayit echad uboneh, ve'ino boneh shnei batim. So if that's the case, if you have more than one yavama, you're only allowed to take one. So over here, he won't be able to keep holding on to her. Whereas again, Rabbi Shimon says, what's the problem? If his first bia was a bia, then she is his yavama 100%. If she's his yavama 100%, and he wants to go along sleeping with the other ones, that's his problem. It has nothing to do with passeling the yibam. It's just a relationship of znus with another woman. Why would it affect the yavama? The yavama. The yavama is already his marriage. So fine. So he went ahead and slept with another woman. It was the tzara. There was no longer, and remember, we had a machlokas whether she remains asura to him. You know, after one of them is taken, are the other brothers going to be over? But for himself, Papashas, he took off the Yitzhar Veshesach as well. Tanya, and this is exactly how Rabbi Shimon explains the problem to the Chachamim. Mamalam Rabbi Shimon the Chachamim. Look, if the Bia Rishona was a Bia, then the Bia Shnia ain't a Bia. The Im Bia Rishona ain't a Bia, so then the Bia Shnia Nami ain't a Bia. I mean, so why would there's no way that the second Bia can do anything. Mamanav Shach. If the guy's bia, the first child, was a good kosher bia, or his first bia was a kosher bia, then the kinyan is finished. And if not, so that doesn't matter either way. So why are we worried about the second one? Okay, now this entire idea, says the Gemara, the Mishnah, is not like Ben Azai, because Ben Azai holds that the din of ma'amar achar ma'amar is not that the Rabbanan gave the kayach to a yavam to do ma'amar with separate yavamas. Why in the world would they do that? It's just that every yavam has the power to give kedushin to a yavama. That's all that it means. So if brother one gives that kedushin, and that's followed by brothers two giving kedushin, so then each one of them is just as valid as the other. But why would they give a person the right to do a mimer to two yavamas? That doesn't even make any sense. Therefore, Ben Azai says The Tanya ben Azi Omer, look, yesh ma'amar achar ma'amar, if you've got two yevamin with one yevama, or two, but there's no such thing as ma'amar achar ma'amar if there are two yevamas and one yevam. Once he used up his ma'amar for one, he used up his ma'amar. Our Mishnah is taken for granted that the boy went ahead and he did ma'amar, which is ma'amar, with the second yevama. Well, he was never given that right anyway, so forget about it. And now it's time for a make-up to a Baal Tshuva called Richie.
I finally get a chance.
Yes, go ahead, sir. We're back with you. Remember that it says in the Midei Serachamim, Hashem, Hashem, Ani hu kodem shechotav, ani hu sheacher shechotav, v'aser tshuva. So therefore, go right ahead, and it's just in the Rambam says a person about tshuva should never think that he's less chaviv than he was before. On the contrary, he's even more chaviv than he was before. So we're going to listen to your introduction with full heart. Ah, you see the difference? Amazing how a person speaks before tshuva and after tshuva. Incredible. All right, so now, ben teish hashanim, the yomei achad, shubal yavim to. Now, here we get to another question. Remember that there was another strange gezeira drabana, and that was that since it says in the pasuk, umet echad mehem, so there were two brothers, one brother died. But if a Yavama carries the Zika of two brothers at the same time, then there is no Yibum, you can only do Chalitza. Now, how the heck could a Yavama carry a Zika of two brothers? If one brother dies and the second brother went ahead and did Yibum, so now there is no longer the Zika of the first brother who died. So what in the world is the Pasuk talking about? There ain't no such case, Midiraisa. But the case does arise, Midirabanan. Why? Because Ma'amar is sort of a Yibum, but it's insufficient to remove the Zika of the first brother. So suppose we have brother Reuven dies, and brother Shimon goes ahead and gives Ma'amar to brother Reuven's wife, and he's got his own wife besides, and then he goes and dies, leaving two women to brother Levi, and now brother Levi has got a woman that was once Reuven's Zika, and now carries, again, Midrabanan, Shimon's Zika. So Midrabanan, it's possible for a woman to carry the Zika of two brothers, and therefore he's not allowed to marry them. Now, let's put a Ben Teish HaShanim Yom Echad into that equation and see how does it register. So Ben Teish HaShanim Yom Echad, he goes and sleeps with his Yavama, and he dies. So over there, the Yavama can only get Chalitza from a third brother who's living and is a Gadol, but he cannot be Miyabimer, because there is the fact that the Bia of the child created Minrabanan, the Semi-Zika, to him, and now this girl is still carrying the Zika of the first brother who died, because the child didn't take off that Zika, because it wasn't enough to potter her from Yibam, right? So therefore, she's carrying a double Zika. Furthermore, if a child goes ahead and marries a woman, and then he dies, there's no Yibam at all. We don't say that Midrabanan, there is an element of marriage of a nine-year-old, that we don't say. However, as Tosis points out, we spoke about this Tosis earlier, as Tosis points out, even though the Rabbanan did not provide a male, a marriage, the way it provided a female child, a marriage midrabanan, in order to protect her from predators, there is a reason to provide a child who is a male with marriage. And that is to make sure that he has a sexual partner. Because if it doesn't, he's going to become abusive sexually. So the Gemara does not believe that 10-year-olds do not have sexual desires. So therefore, there is a reason to make a takana. However, as Tosis explains, the Rabbanan never made that takana, but that doesn't mean that it's usur, because you don't need, for a girl, you need marriage to protect her, because that's the whole point. The husband's going to act as if he's really married to her. But for a boy, all we need is sex. So we want him, as opposed to our modern ideas, we want children to have sex, because that way they will be in a position of being much more mature and able to handle life by the time they reach puberty. And this is why Tosis understands that you're supposed to marry your child somuch lepirko. Tosis understands that means before puberty. So therefore, it can't be that the Rabbanan said it's not nice to have children having sex. On the contrary, they're giving you a mitzvah. So Tosis says it may be a mitzvah, but just because the Rabbanan never made a takona of marriage, it doesn't mean that it's usur. So okay, sort of an extramarital affair until he becomes bar mitzvah. Fine. The truth is that over here, as I told you, in Eretz Yisrael, when you would get an invitation, you don't know whether the invitation was to the marriage or to the bar mitzvah, like which one was coming first. That was like standard, that this was accepted, that this is what people did. Okay, so now, even therefore, when it says over here, Arezu Petura, the Chiddush is that even though there are elements of sort of marriages for youngsters, but there's no chiyuv of yibum. So that the point is that there was no takona of a relationship. Furthermore, another dinner, ben teisha shanim v'yom echad. Ben teisha, by the way, you can test your own im b'chukotai telechu as opposed to chukota akum by how you feel about that. If it makes you feel queasy, then you're still in Western world. If it makes you feel, well, less, somebody's got brains, so then you know that you're following b'chukotai. Okay. Ben teisha shanim v'yom echad sheba al yevimto umi shehigdil. Now, what about a case like this? He marries while he's a child. And as soon as he became a gadol, he goes and he marries another woman. Now, this is a real marriage. And then he dies. So now he's leaving two wives. Suppose he never actually consummated the marriage, midiraisa, with his first wife after he became a gadol, right? So he becomes bar mitzvah, marries the second wife. He didn't have a chance to sleep with his first wife that he's been married to from the time he's nine. He didn't have a chance to sleep with her again after his bar mitzvah. So she remains his wife only midrabbanan. So now what's the situation? He's got a real wife who is chayeves in yibum. So the deal over there would be that the first wife is only choletzet gelo mityabemet, because since she is basically only a ma'amar wife, right? So then that means that she is still related to the first marriage, one that we're calling Reuven. Remember, the child is Shimon, the dead brother was Reuven, and the new brother is Levi. So then that would mean that she's got this same problem, that she's zekuka to two brothers, and the pasuk said, "Who made echad mehem?" And over there was made shnayim mehem, and therefore that's going to be a problem for this child's wife as well. The second wife that he married, she is a real wife, and she only carries his zika. So she is ocholetzet omit yabemet, and over there would be no problem. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says no, like he said before. I don't believe in that fake drosha of Meit Echad Mehem. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon, remember, he says, Mi'abim le'ezer she'yirtze v'choletz l'shnia. As long as you don't take both of them, because according to Rabbi Shimon, there's a chance that she was his real wife also, because it says it's a suffix. Maybe it was a real kinyan. So you obviously cannot be Mi'abim both of them, because then you're taking the possibility of taking two wives, and bayit echadu boneh v'eino boneh shnei batim. Okay, so I understand that you can't be miyabim both. I also understand that you can't just be miyabim one, because maybe she's not married at all. And therefore, okay, you're not going to be able to passel to pater the other one from the real zika. So fine, so take one and be cholitz the other one. And that way there's no problem. And this is, when we say he is 9 years old, he might be 20 years old. He doesn't have to be 9 years old, because a 20-year-old who never reached puberty is a 9-year-old. In the sense that, yes, he can have intercourse, so be ya, but he's considered to be la halacha katan, and therefore he has no kinyonim, as we saw before. Okay, so now, Omar Rava, you should know that this idea that the Rabbana made up, this concept, you can carry a zika of two yevamim, and that she only gets chalitza, and you cannot be miyabim her. Now, do not make the mistake of thinking that the only time we would say that is where there is a tzara. Why would I think that? Because the whole idea is based on the chashad that someone may indeed make the mistake of taking two women from the same house. Because if you're telling me that Levi, remember Levi was the third brother, cannot take the first one, which was married to Reuven, and has to do chalitza, the truth is that of course she could be a midyabemet, right? Because in reality, this idea is she's not married to Levi at all. Midyoraisa, she only has Zika of Reuven. And the Tzara has the Zika from Shimon. The problem is that people don't understand the logic in this. And therefore, if there would be a Tzara, if he had his own wife, Shimon had his own wife, so then it's going to look like Levi is marrying Shnei Yevamos mi Bayis Echad, and that he cannot do. Bayis Echad, ubone, veino beona shnei batim. So they ushered you from taking the two of them. So you might think that that means that the entire gezeira that the Rabbanan came up with of creating a concept of Misha Enlo Elazikas Yovam Echad is only in a circumstances where there is a tzara. So then I'm afraid that in taking both of them, people are going to say, oh my God, so you are allowed to marry two Yevamos from the same house, right? That would be a big mistake to think that. And that if Shimon did not have another wife, that then there would be no problem of going in and being Miyabimer, because in this Mishnah, there is no Tzara. The Mishnah's opening case, there's no Tzara, and Afal Pike, we say, since she was married to the Katan, so therefore she carries a Zikr of Shnei Yabim. Why? Where's the gezeira of the tzara? Obviously, this was a blanket gezeira that we're going to create this because of cases where there is a tzara. But even if there's no tzara, it still says here, michla tchotze yibumi lo miyaba, and that's it. Fine. And then when the Mishnah says, nasa isha vameit, there's no din of yibum, no din of chalitza, yes, it's exactly what the Braisa said. That a shaita and a katan that went ahead and got married anyway, there is no chiyav of yibum whatsoever, and that nishoteim are peturot min hachalitza u min hayibum. Let me just finish one more case so we can get close to the end, okay? So we said that in the case of a ben teisha, who actually goes ahead, sleeps with his yevama, and then at his bar mitzvah, he goes and he marries the second wife, and he has not had a chance to sleep with his first wife before he drops dead after his bar mitzvah. So then we said that you can do chalitza, but only chalitza for the first wife. And the second wife, you could do either chalitza or yibum. But the question is, why? Why don't we say that the bia of a ben teisha has the same din as ma'amar of a godol? So, because let's imagine the case that instead of his being a 9-year-old, he would have been a gadol, and he would have given ma'amar. So then what would have been the halacha? That we have the gezera that the brother, the third brother, Levi, is not allowed to take her because of the fact that she's got zikas shnei yabmin. So once we made the bia of a katan to be the equivalent of a mimer, so then shouldn't that be the same thing in our Mishnah as well? Seems to be exactly the same case, but there's a tremendous difference between them. Because the din is that even the tzara is asura. Remember, in the case of Arba Achin, where the Shimon brother, the second brother, who gave ma'amar to the wife of Reuven, where he had his own wife, the halacha is that his own wife also cannot be mityabemet. We will only be allowed to give her, and we need to give her, chalitza, but not yibum. So if we are saying that this is the same for a katan, that it's the equivalent of the mimer, so then why don't we aser Levi from taking the real wife over here? Because he is actually married to her. So it's the same case that we had back in the discussion of the Arba Achim. So how come it's not the same? We should say that Levi is only allowed to give either of them chalitza, but he can't give either of them yibum, in which case the tzura should be asura. That's what the case was in Arba Achim. Omar Rav, well, they didn't do that. Lo asu biat ben tesha kamar mar begadol, legabi this halacha, to asura tzura, we didn't do it. So even though in certain ways we did, like we said before, but it's not considered to be the equivalent of marma for this purpose of asuring the tzara. Where Shmuel said, oh yes, they did, absolutely, asu v'asu, they sure as heck did, the chen omer of Yochanan, yes indeed, they did. And indeed it's the same and you're not allowed to go ahead and marry. Now you'll say, v'yasu, so you'll say, why shouldn't we say, therefore, that it would be the full equivalent of a mimer and aser the tzara? So the truth is that this whole idea of the yisra of a tzara is a machlokas panayim, because the Tana in Arba Achim that holds that we don't allow you to take either the wife that putatively carries two zikas or the tzara that Shimon was married to originally, he holds that we make a gzera. And he holds that the whole idea of carrying the Zika of Shnei Yabin was because of the Gzera of the Tzara. Because people will think that you're taking two people. So because of that, we applied it to the Tzara, because it was all because of the Tzara. So therefore, we applied it to the Tzara too. And that the reason that we made this Gzera of Shnei Yabin is because people will think that the guy is marrying two separate Yavamas, which is not true. One of them was the Yavama of Reuven that we never got rid of the Zika, and the other one was the Yavama of Shimon, and Baruch Avram is sleeping, was the of Shimon. And over there should be no problem in taking both of them. But it looks bad to people. You know, this is very complicated halacha, because all they know is the guy is going ahead and marrying, Levi's going ahead and marrying two women from Levi's house, from Shimon's household. So we made a gezera not to marry both of them. And in fact, since the problem was the chashash, just give them chalitza. Don't do yibum with either of them. Okay. So then he holds that that's the pshat and told us the halacha in Arba Achin about a gadol, but he would have said the same thing about a katan. It wasn't that focused on a difference between a gadol and a katan. This is a completely different machlokas. He happened to be talking about gadolim. So the Mishnah came about in Arba Achim that they were gadolim. Vahaitan, it's okay. Vahaita omer begadol. The only reason he was talking about mamar begadol over there is because the whole Mishnah was referring to four gadol, achim, and so on. Then we can't complicate the issue with a katan, but it'd be exactly the same halacha. Whereas the Tana of our Mishnah holds that they really did make the bia of a katan kimama. But he disagrees fundamentally. He holds that the gezera of Zika Shnei Yabin had nothing to do with tzaras. And since it has nothing to do with tzaras, it's not nogea taking two yavamas bibayit echad. This Mishnah actually bases the whole idea on the concept of the pasuk itself. It wasn't just a remez in the pasuk. It actually holds that it's halacha. Some say it's halacha actually a diaraisa, or it's the ritva's pshat in a smachta. However, you understand that the pasuk is that they hold that it's actually a diaraisa, and the Gemara discusses elsewhere how that's possible. Fine, but the bottom line is that according to this Mishnah, they would have said the same thing about the gadol. Because if it's not a gezerah because of a tzara, then we will allow you to take the tzara. And therefore, you made the mistake of thinking there's only one approach, and therefore there must be a difference between a gadol and a katan. Wrong. Nobody holds there's a difference between a gadol and a katan. The difference between the two sugyas is how we understand the gezerah of v'lo mishiyesh alav. So therefore, our Tana holds that they made the bia like Mamar, but since the basis of the Gzera is not Sora, so it doesn't apply to the Tzara, even if it would be a Gadol. Here we're talking about a Katan, but the truth is Ruah din b'Gadol. The only reason that we talk about a Katan over here is because we're in the middle of these series of Mishnayos that are talking about a Katan. That's all. Now, what happened was is that Rebbe Lozer went into the Beis HaMedrash and said, this is a brilliant analysis, really, what Rebbe Yochanan just said. Rebbe Lozer goes into the Beis HaMedrash, and he says this over, and he did not quote it from Rebbe Yochanan. And Rebbe Yochanan was furious, as we've seen before. He does not like it when people say things and they don't quote him. Okay, so he's furious, Shama Rabbi Yochanan ikvid, and when Rabbi Yochanan gets angry, very bad things happen. So Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi go over to Rabbi Yochanan to try to cool him off before he causes some damage, like he killed Reish Lakish with his akbar. We don't want him to be angry at Rabbi Elazar, so they're trying to cool him off. So they say to him, you know, remember, there was this big maisa in the Beit HaKnesset of Tveria about that whole machlokas. Remember the machlokas about the neger, sheyesh b'yor rosh ha'gluster. I remember we had back in Shabbos that if you have a door, a door stop that has a big round thing on top, and it's not just a peg, and therefore if you turn it upside down, you could always use it as a pestle, right? So there was a machlokas which was considered to be is it muktzah or is it not muktzah? Because it's basically a kli shemalachta that can be used if you need it. It is a kli. Anyway, so there was a big machlokas over there between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi, and they got so angry that they tore up a Sefer Torah. They were so angry. Tore up? What are you talking about? How would anybody? That's nuts. No, I mean, they were grabbing the Sefer to bring riots from a pasuk, once pulling one way, once pulling the other way, and the Sefer Torah was Nikra, and it was terrible. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was there. When he saw that Talmidei Chachamim could get so angry at each other, he said, that's mamish like Avodah Zarah. People that get angry, it's like they worship Avodah Zarah. I would be shocked if this Beit HaKnesset doesn't become a church one day. And that's exactly what happened. It did. So that's the Kol HaKoyes Kilo Eved Averis Kachovim is what he's basing it on. So fine, they turned the shul into a Beis HaVeda Zorah. You know, Rabbi Yochanan, it's not Kedai to get so angry. So he got even more angry. Idiots! That's talking about two chavrusas. So now you're turning my Talmud into my chavrusa. It's not bad enough that he doesn't quote me, but now you have to go and add salt to the wounds, that you're bringing me a riot that I should learn to be quiet because two chavrusas fought with each other. Jerks! Now you made him into my chavrusa. Chavrusa nami. I thought I was angry before. Now I'm really angry. So Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, he went to cool Rabbi Yochanan off. So he says to Rabbi Yochanan, you know, it says, Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe avdo, kein tziva Moshe et Yoshua. Now look at this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the whole Torah to Moshe. Moshe was Moser Torah to Yoshua. He gave over every halacha the way he had heard it. V'chein asa Yoshua lo hesir davar mikol asher tziva Hashem et Moshe. So everything that Yoshua was done was the tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe. That's what the pasuk is made. Now let me ask you something. Do you honestly believe that for his entire career, Yoshua went around and he gave every sentence, the prelude, as Moshe taught me, blah, 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 blah. And as Moshe taught me, blah, 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 blah. No, the Torah is saying that everything that he did was a direct application back to Moshe. Isn't that the whole point that the pasuk is making? Obviously, he did everything like Moshe said. The point is that by doing so, it was the equivalent. You think that he said to them, Kach amar li Moshe, Kach amar li Moshe? Of course not. But it still calls it all the words of Moshe. So therefore, what is the pshat? Yoshua Yoshevet Doresh Stam. He was sitting and darshaning day and night. And everybody knew, Akol Yodim, that every word that Yoshua said was Moshe Rabbeinu's words. That's how loyal Rabbi Elazar is to you. Every word that he says, what is he going to sit and say, you know, I need to go to the bathroom because my Rebbe told me that you need to go to the bathroom when you need to go. I mean, it's ridiculous. Everybody knows that his whole life is defined by you. So he's supposed to go telling people, oh, by the way, I heard this from Rabbi Yochanan. That would be an insult to you. Brilliant, okay? So, Af Rabbi Elazar, your loyal Talmud, your Shevet Oreshtam, V'akol Yodin Kishokai. So then he says to Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, no, you guys, why don't you learn how to make somebody feel good instead of telling me your crazy thing make me feel worse? So how come you can't learn to be Mephias the way our Edie, our friend, Edie's son, our friend, the way that he said it? Now that's intelligent. I love it. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Edie gave me an intelligent response. You guys gave me stupidities. But what does it bother him so much? I understand, like, it matters so much that he has to be quoted. Rabbi Yochanan, my time a copy kulei high. That's because the Amr of Yeram Rav, my dechtiv agura ba'alecha olamim. What did David HaMelech mean when he said, I should live in your tent forever? Or as Tosa understands this, olamim in both worlds. How can a person live simultaneously in two worlds at the same time? If you're an Olam Haba, you're an Olam Haba. If not, so you're only an Olam Hazeh. Elo Amar David lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam, I'm begging you, Yehi Ratzon, that people will say over my things, my Torah, after I die, Sheyomru Dvar Shmua Mipi Baolam Hazeh, because as Rabbi Yochanan, this is the point, Rabbi Yochanan was the one that popularized this after learning it from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Kol Tamid Chacham Shomrim Dvar Shmua Mipiv Baolam Hazeh. So while he is in the yeshiva shalmala, as Tosis puts it, he is still physically involved in, so to speak, it was obviously metaphorically, but he is involved, ki'ilu, his lips are moving as if he's alive. And that's what he was asking for. And Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Zira, Vitei Shimon Nazira, explained that this is merumas in the pasuk. V'chikech k'yein hatov. So chikech means the things that you speak by putting your tongue against your palate and moving your mouth. That's chikech. It's like the best wine. Holech l'dodi l'meisharim. It goes to my lover in straight there, in honesty, and in realness of heart. Dovev sifsei yeshenim. Moving the lips of the sleepers, meaning those who are dead and are in Yeshiva Shomala. And it's comparing it to Yayin HaTov. So it's comparing it to a Komer Shel Anavim. A Komer Shel Anavim is where you put the grapes and they sit until they get warm from oxidation. And then it's easy to press them to get wine. Just like a Komer Shel Anavim. Kiven Sheminiach Adam Etzbo'o Alav. The moment that you touch it, it starts bubbling out because it's heated now and it's soft and gel-like. So when you touch it, it immediately starts to move. So it's dovev. The Talmud Chacham, he is his Torah. And the moment that you touch that shmua, so to speak, by remembering it. So omrim dvar shmua mipihem b'olam hazeh, siftoteim dovevot bekever. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan, somebody's cheating me out of that incredible schus, to be able to be ma'achid, my life in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, simultaneously. I can't just let that go. So that's what he was angry about. He wasn't angry about some kind of silly thing that a guy didn't give him credit, didn't give me credit. The world's full of people. We'll never give you credit for anything. But this is serious stuff.